So hello everybody, let me welcome you all at another questions and answer session here at Javorie Meditation Center in Slovakia on our residential retreat with Bhante Dhammajiva from Sri Lanka and also other yogis from all over the world joining us online. So we are having some technical issues again. So hello, Bhante.
Hi.
May we start?
You can start.
Okay. Okay, so I would like to report. So already 2 days back after the Dhamma talk, there was a change in my meditation in a way that in both sitting and walking, like the general approach of the mind started to be more detached, but in a way that it was like the mind was not interested kind of in meditation. I would call it inertia, like the mind was kind of not interested anything, like not really watching, but it was also not thinking or being distracted much. And also there was not sluggishness or sloth or torpor. Because even during the sitting meditation, sometimes just by itself, the eyes would get open and I would just be sitting with my eyes open and like not even feeling like want to close the eyes or want to do anything. But still the mind was alert, but there was something unwholesome about it. It was not the upekha, the really nice detachment, but there was something unwholesome about it. So because from the past, I know these periods are sometimes difficult to struggle through. So I decided just to keep to the schedule and just do the walking, sitting as good as possible. And it lasted really several hours like this, but then actually it started to deep, and also the experience from the whole meditation was like very flat, just like two-dimensional, just like looking through a glass on everything, not being interested, like the mind was completely disinterested in what was going on. But then slowly with the time, it started to be more penetrative and it started to go deeper into the object, closer to the object. And then there was a very deep realization of very fine defilements or very fine attachment that was happening before in the meditation, that even though before I was watching all the sensations and all the mental states, there was still expectation that they would go away or they would cease or they would change somehow. And now with this more detached mind, I could see it more clearly that it was still, there was still this wanting to change it or wanted to chase it away a little bit, very slightly, but it was still there. And now it was much more detached. So actually then it started to go deeper and closer also to the object. And also with the tension that I'm having mostly in the right part of my body. Only now the mind really started to go very closely to the tensions that are inside the body. Before it was just watching it like from safe distance. And I could clearly see that it's just generated, or the tension is created right now at that moment of observation. And it's like a very crazy game that the mind would give a command to tense some muscles, then it would notice it, then it would be kind of happy or glad that it noticed the tension, and then it would struggle with it a little bit, but in a way indulging or enjoying perceiving, like wanting to perceive something, and then it would dissolve the tension and it would feel happy that, oh yes, I managed to be patient and waited until so, but it was like a game, the mind playing with itself. So by watching this, then it started to be weaker and weaker, and the tension started to to be released from very deep inside. Like I feel it usually like a bubble just bubbling up to the surface, and then it breaks up, and then it means already that the core or the source of the tension is being released. And since that time now it's very stable the medit, and also yes, I try to really, as you recommended to us, to check as often as possible the primary object. So even in when all this is happening, then I always try, it's like a little bit like a split attention, like with part of the mind still keeping track of the breathing in and out, and also sometimes the whole bodily, the posture, sitting posture, and with another part of the mind watching the details and the changes of the mental states or the physical sensations. And it's really grounding the mind. It's like giving a lot of stability to the practice. So the mind is not being driven away from too much into the details. So, and since that time, it's progressing slowly, but it's very stable. I see it's like the mind is getting more subtle and seeing more details, but there are not these very big ups and downs. Yes, so that's my report.
So that while listening as an outsider, what I can say is, due to the practice of restraint, the mind, the magician, the consciousness is now fairly cornered. So therefore, it feels its magics and tricks are not much playing. So therefore, it is less dramatic. And instead, we read the mind state as no motivation to do something. Whatever the motivation going to have, consciousness is going to take the mean advantage. And it is giving opinion this and that. So consciousness is try its best to make the situation more dramatic, more eventful, and more engaged. But instead, you can now see more, less and less dramatic, less and less action-packed, less and less the tension reduced. consciousness can't play its tricks. As if like the magicians, tricks are now being exposed. So overall situation appear like you are losing, there is no interest, no taste, no eventful kind of thing. But lucky enough, we are going into that situation in a gradual way. There is another kind of a notion, I don't know whether it's also a mind game, that something advancement also happening. So therefore, you have to keep on practicing like that. The Pandita Sayadaw used to say, now Casey is fairly listen. He is a murderer, but he says he is not. So the judge says, as far as he is not pleading guilty, the witnesses are happening, police is coming, and the accusation happened. So he try his best not to get exposed, but he understand ultimately the evidences are very strong, and the whole court now knows I am just denying, but the truth is very open to the place, to the court. Therefore, ultimately, till the murderer, accused person, is pleading guilty, the case is not stopping. Keep on listening. Because if at all the judge says, no, we don't have time, we feel that you are the guilty, so I sentence that he will appeal. But if he is pleading guilty, has no rights. So therefore, be patient. Let that witness to come, police to come, accused to come. Just say, this is what happens. He will be in the court, in the cage. He will say, no. But there is no base. So likewise, it's very rarely that is happening. So I don't know whether you take the criminal side or the judge side. Criminal play all the possible tricks. But the judge is telling, he is not against or for. He says, if it is so, this is the witness. If it is so, this is the police witness. This is the accusation. What do you say? So he give a chance to the last minute. Ultimately, what happened, as Pandita Sayadaw says, he will plead guilty, give me punishment, but give me the least punishment. Then one word, he can't appeal for this court, appeal court. So see where the cloudy eyes. Cloudy eyes on the accused side or judge side. So it is our that when someone is understanding that, there are a lot of other witness, they can understand, they can see what a trick the mind is playing or the consciousness is playing. So far we thought the consciousness is the judge. No, it's a utter tricky fellow. It's a magician. But his magics are now slowly, slowly exposing. So you have to be very patient. Keep your health very steady. Keep your mental health very steady. And just let the court, as you mentioned, the normal sitting and walking, whenever possible, check it up with the primary object and the bodily posture. And they are very natural. Very easily you can go there. That indicates the justice is happening. Okay.
Yes, Bhante, exactly. I think Claudia seems to be the mischief, even though she always says she's not guilty. She's innocent, but it seems that she's playing the tricks. But the mindfulness is now finding out.
I will knock on your head. I will knock on your head, the boxing shot. But I am in a far away, sorry to do it. But if I am going to knock, you will claim that the court is going against me, so I am innocent and they give an unwanted decision. Like I will let you worn out, let you completely exhausted and inertia, the cloudy eyes inertia. So let it happen in front of our eyes and we become a play in a glass house. Everything is very, very appealing to the other meditators. So we have to set the role model. Continue. What do you continue? Just do the day-to-day task. That's all. Okay?
Yes, Bhante, thank you. Yes. And also, I would like to ask those who are online, if you have any questions right now to ask Bhante, you can raise your hand or ask directly if you wish.
I have a report on my meditation. May I read it, please?
Yes.
Sorry, I had emailed it earlier, so I'll try to find it. I sat down in the morning to do my meditation, and the object was Anapanasati. I started feeling that quivering of the lips again, but this time there was like also a deep silence. I felt it was like there's nothing but a silence, yet I could hear a sound like the insects in the night, like chiri 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 chiri, that was on the background. But I kept noticing the in-breath and the out-breath, like felt the in-breath cool and the out-breath warm. As you instructed yesterday for me to look at the end of the in-breath and out-breath, because I was watching the differences between the in-breaths also, at first I was actually conscious more of the gap between the in-breath and the out-breath. I wasn't much conscious of this gap before. Then I realized I am aware of my in-breath going in, and I could see the end of that, but I couldn't see the out-breath. It wasn't visible. But I just kept on looking at it. And then sort of all of a sudden some thoughts hit me, and as if my mind went completely to them, and it went on into a story. But when I realized it, I brought it back to the breath, and I kept back on the breath, and I could again settle into the in-breath and the out-breath. But this time I started feeling the out-breath as well. So after a little while, watching both the end of the in-breath and the end of the out-breath, they almost felt like the same. So But in my mind, I knew that this is the end of the in-breath and this is the end of the out-breath. But the feeling sort of was the same. Now, this sort of repeated as a cycle, because then again, I was hit with some thoughts. My mind went back. And then when I realized, I said to myself, this is the nature of the mind, and brought it back. And then again, it slowly settled in, and I could see the in-breath and the out-breath. So this happened about 3 times or 4 times. I don't know for how long. And when I was settling well into the meditation, noticing the in-breaths and the out-breaths, I could feel a sort of a coolness in my legs, as if there was ice. Yet this was not uncomfortable, but I just, now I was, you know, I could see the coolness, but I wasn't really trying to look at it. And I just could see the in-breath, out-breath as well. It was as if all these things are going on and I'm watching from somewhere else. So, and I actually realized I had sat in meditation much longer than I usually do when I got up. Thank you, Vante. I would like some...
Yeah. So my comments, my remarks. So you are sure it, the cycle went up to 3 times or 4 times. Usually, once you seasoned it, once you go prepared, it can go 10, 20 times. And at the beginning, the silence is discreetly different from the sounds happening and the in-breath happening. And later you find in-breath, out-breath sounds, silence. And they are difference reduces as the cycles, number of cycles increases. And ultimately you find silence is equal to a sound. Cycle is equal to a noise or pain. Kind of the discrete difference is reducing, the amplitude is reducing, is rather flattening off. So therefore, when such a thing happens, you will not be carried out, carried away by thoughts and all the kind of thing. So likewise, you understand at the beginning, this is a new thing, but number of cycles it is going to happen. The drastic to polar apart things about to appear same. So when that happens, good is equal to bad. Everything is equal to nothing. And all the opposites going hand in hand. So that our mind very difficult, find is very difficult to comprehend. Best thing is to let the mind to digest it, let the mind to season it, master it, give you a lot of chances. And as far as the pain, what to try to explain is, you can see the nature of the pain. You don't know which part of your body is representing. You don't know whether it's a symptom of a disease or nature of the pain. So pain can exist without inflicting such a name of a disease or attributing to your one of the body parts. That is what we call, we are getting a distance from pain. Then only you know the beginning, the middle and the end. Otherwise, you will get frightened telling that it is such a disease or that part of my body is in stress. So therefore, you must know the art, how to see the nature of the pain and how to see the beginning, the middle and the end. The main thing is not to put a label. Just let it happen and go. So therefore, you become a step back and look at what is happening. So ultimately you may find each and every pleasurable feeling is end up with the pain. Each and every painful feeling is end up with the pleasure. So when you are looking at a distance, pain is equal to pleasure. They are just feeling. You only attribute the specification with a pain or pleasure. So therefore ultimately attribution to the pain and pleasure appear like a joke. It is just an attribution we put. So likewise, the pleasure principle, each and every being, not only human, are chasing behind. But ultimately, pain is equal to pain, pleasure. So likewise, you are advancing now. Don't push yourself. Just let it happen. And you see, that is what you call the maturity in meditation, that is the art, that's the beauty of the inside meditation. Please continue with courage.
Thank you very much, Pante. So that means when I just feel that coldness coming in the legs. I mean, I wasn't thinking it was legs, but the thought came as it was legs. So what you say is just see it more as a pain.
That's
and not
cold nature. Cold nature.
No, cold nature.
It
cold
is
nature.
Not in.
Yes.
It is not me and not me. No difference.
I see.
So then the
yes,
coldness
yes.
will teach you something.
Oh, I see. I see. Thank you very much, Pante. May all this merit help you realize the
sadhu,
Dharma.
Sadhu.
I would like to apologize to Anuradha and probably also others who are sending emails now because our organizer Jan has left. So we are now not checking the email communications, but he will come some days and he will read the emails that accumulate. So if there are no other online questions, then I would give floor to our resident yogis.
Hello, Bhante.
Welcome.
So during walking meditation, I notice differences between left foot and the right foot. I noticed that there's a bit of less stability in the left foot than in the right foot. Also, the kind of distribution of weight is slightly different between the two legs, the 2 feet. And there are different kind of pain points on each of the legs during like extended walking. And during sitting meditation, I notice breath, like the muscles in the abdomen, and also tension in the abdomen and how the tension changes in time. And I'm also aware of my sitting posture and of the pain in various parts of the body, mainly the back and the shoulders. And I also notice there's also a lot of discursive thinking going on and bit of self-judgment and frustration from all of these thoughts happening and as a result there's a bit of resistance that I notice in my practice, but I still kind of it doesn't come easily yet, but I still keep practicing.
Yeah, they are in the background, sometimes coming forward. But anyway, you can continue sitting and walking. As far as the walking is concerned, whenever you see the difference that of the touch and the weight distributed among the left leg and the right leg, usually it is natural. If you are a footballer, you can't kick the ball with both the legs. You have only one specialized leg. If you are doing a hop, step and jump, you start every day with the one single leg. That is what's going to give you the big kick. So these things we don't know. We never noticed it. But when we are doing mindfulness, we see when we are climbing, which leg is coming forward. When we are climbing down, which leg is. And if I have to jump, what is happening. So likewise, we are learning it. You know, left leg and the right leg is different. Left hand and the right hand is different. They are different because we are specializing only one. So it is being generally advised, if you are a right hander, please write. Try something with the left hand. You see what a kind of a joke. So let that happen. So you are learning about your body. So background information, the backdrop is ever changing. And often it is clouding. It is influencing our then and the observation. So you can understand that if you start with the positive mind, if you start with the prepared mind, the way things appear is different than you are in a dull mind and a disappointed mind. So that is how you have to understand the preparedness of the mind before the job. So it's a precursor. It is a kind of a sign. If you are well prepared, definitely your performances are better. So mindfulness is kind of such an alert, such a diligence, such a vigilance. So you must not try hard when you feel dull and kind of thing. But you must understand after dullness will replace by the vigilant, diligent, energetic, there you dash through. It is like in a driving a car, if you are red lights are there, don't try. If the amber light is there, just be prepared. Whenever the green happens, you must drive. So likewise, you must understand the background with this red light or amber light or green light. So that is being taught in the New Haven University in Connecticut to the children. Whenever such a decisive thing happen, see the backdrop. It's a dangerous red or amber or in the green light. So then you are not rushing and ultimately not burning your fingers. So this is the way mindfulness is teaching you how to be patient. Please continue.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Welcome.
Hello, Bhante.
Hi.
So let me give you my report. So yesterday, I think it was a good day for me. I think I made a bit of a progress. In the walking meditation, I've been observing the changes of the temperature and mostly focusing on the heat of my feet. Seeing the changes when the sun shines, when the wind blows, also when the feet rub against the shoe, and all of these things. And it was very interesting for me. So it felt easy to stay on the object. And sometimes when the heat was more intense in any other part of my body, I observed that for a bit, and then I came back to the primary object. So I think it was kind of easy for me, and I enjoyed it. In the sitting meditation, I struggled since I came here with the sitting, and I think I was trying to focus on the breath, but I noticed I am creating something which is not there. I know there are experienced yogis here on the retreat, so I was trying to see all the subtle sensations, and I was not able to see it, so I was kind of just creating that in my mind. So I told to myself that I have to relax a bit and that it takes patience and that I have to just relax and let it come by itself. So as I did that, after a couple sessions, it started to appear by itself, and I finally had a deeper meditation after all these days being here. And I focused on the end of the out-breath, and I was able to, there were these two sessions where I was really able to be focused. and it felt very interesting. I thought in the first session, I thought that, well, it's probably end of the session already, but it was still like 20 minutes left. So I was able to see all the changes and all that. So it felt nice and I felt this progress, but today I struggled again a bit more and I see that the mind is playing some tricks on me and that it doesn't want to be focused, even though I didn't have really like long chains of thoughts. Since I came here, I was able to just like check back and be aware. But today it was so, it was very rough and so today it wasn't a successful day so far. So that's for me.
Yeah, the early part of your report indicates that how much you appreciate in the atmosphere and nice. We in Sri Lanka also, we have a very fine climate now after a heavy rain. So every one of us have some kind of a relaxed atmosphere here. So whenever such a thing happens, you must make use it just to be friendly with your body while walking. Try to understand the feelings as much as possible. And when the mind is calm, the penetration is high. So, but you can't always expect the mind to be calm. That may be. So, therefore, you know now how to be prepared under any given circumstances. And in sitting, if you are going to see, chase behind the subtle sensation, that means you are result-oriented kind of thing. Yeah, best thing is to relax, as you mentioned. And then the before subtle thing happens, you can see the gross. That means you are face-to-face with the object. Usually it appears rather in a gross way. While you are observing only, the mind and the body, mind and the object, become calm and calm. Until that, you must not chase behind to see details. So details appear once the mind and calm, mind and the object become somewhat calm. So therefore, you must know where to find the subtle things. You must not chase behind, but instead, when they are appearing, you must pick them, you must select them, you must appreciate them, facilitate them. That's the way it happens. So we put that into the jargon, which says, do meditate, but no result orientation, not expectation of results. So that is the kind of a preparedness. So while you are doing, good days, bad days are happening. But I would say the bad days are the good things because you are surely more alert than good days. You are very concerned about what is happening. Don't throw away this information, this what you gathered during the clumsy days, busy days. They also give a comparative, relative importance when compared with the good days. So this is how this mindfulness business is happening. Some days are gainful, some days are not. But nothing to give up. Continue with the courage.
Yes, thank you. I would also like to ask, as I've been struggling a bit in the sitting meditation, I feel like it's very long. The hour is very long for me, even though at home I have no problem with that. But somehow here, I just can't focus. It feels like it takes for ages, the sessions. So I'm not sure if I should be diligent and stay for the 1 hour in the sitting, or if I feel like it's too much, I should stop. I'm not sure what to do with this.
The first sentence you mentioned was, I think, traveling or walking or getting up. Am I correct?
I'm sorry.
The first sentence you sent was, While sitting, you feel like traveling, you feel like getting up, you feel like walking. Is this the issue you are talking about? No, I didn't hear the first sentence. I did not hear the first sentence. Please repeat it repeat it for me. Then I can ask, I can understand. What was the first sentence you made?
Yes, I'm sorry for not understanding. So it's during the sitting. I feel like it takes for ages, even though at home I am used to sit for 1 hour, but here I feel like it is taking too long, and I'm like already done with the sitting, and I should I can stop, but it's still just been like 30 minutes. So I'm not sure if I should push through that or.
So therefore, there is no set answer. But you see, if you are playing a chess game or if you are playing a card game, you can sit 3 hours, 4 hours, no problem. If you are behind the coffee table, you can sit longer time. But when you are mindful and be with the body, each and every feeling, each and every itch is matters. So that means you are very alert. So once the uneasy situation happens, tension and the pain happens, you just ask the body knowledge, what do you need? It may say, get up and go. Okay, I can get up and go, but do it SMS. Slowly get up, mindfully get up, silently get up, and see whether mindfulness is gaining or losing. Or sometimes you may be compromised to stretch your leg. Do it SMS. And see what is the mindfulness after that or before that. What is the relationship? Is it a gainful? Not that you are not completely sitting like a statue. You can do, no problem. But you have to understand how much, what is the relationship with your mindfulness. Got the point?
Yes, thank you very much, Bhante.
Try and see, will you?
Pozdravujem, Bhanteho. Lukáš, počuješ ma?
Áno, počujem. Hello, Bhante.
Hi.
Moje meno je Jaro. Ja som sa pripojil v piatok po obede. Mám za sebou prvý deň, včerajší celý. A chcel by som reportovať, čo som pozoroval a čo sa dialo.
My name is Jaro and I joined the retreat on Friday afternoon. And yesterday I... did one whole day of practice, and I would like to report to you what happened.
Good.
What has happened? Dobre.
Tak včera aj počas meditácií v sede, aj počas meditácií v chôdzi som mal ešte veľa takých rušivých myšlienok, najmä takých analytických, obsedantných z minulosti.
Yesterday, during both sitting meditation and walking meditation, I had a lot of discursive thinking of analytic nature and also obsedant thought.
Taktiež pri meditácii v sede prichádzal spánok, takže som potom volil viacej času meditácii v chôdzi, ktorá mi bola ako i príjemnejšia, jednoduchšia, lebo tam som nemal to nutkanie k zaspávaniu.
And during the sitting meditation, drowsiness and sleepiness set in, and so I prefer to do more walking meditation because that felt more comfortable and I was not so drowsy while doing walking meditation.
Počas meditácií v sede pozorujem nádych aj výdych na brúšku, respektíve na bránici. A z začiatku som pocitoval taký veľký odpor, taký tlak proti nádychu, akoby tie vnútorné orgány som vnímal, akoby nedovolili dostatočne sa nadýchnuť.
While sitting meditation, I am practicing mindfulness of inhale and exhale in my diaphragm. And in the beginning, I felt a kind of resistance because my inner organs kind of did not really allow me to take the inhales and outhales, exhales.
V tej večernej fázi alebo večernej časti meditácii v sede, keď som si vypočul Banteho, tak som vnímal, že ten tlak, ktorý som pociťoval na brúšku, na bruchu, pri nádychu, že je spojený s myšlienk, s očakávaním. Že mal som také očakávanie a jasne som to ako prečítal, že toto je vlastne problém. Mm-hmm. A to uvedomenie, alebo...
Mm-hmm. In the evening session, after your Dhamma talk, I could recognize that the pressure I tend to feel in the area of belly is connected with my expectation. I could recognize some expectation in my mind that caused that kind of pressure in my belly. And then I realized, ano?
Keď som si uvedomil to očakávanie, tak nastalo uvoľnenie a už som mohol pozorovať, ako sa postupne nádych a výdych zmekčuje, až som prestal vnímať úplne ten odpor a dýchanie, pozorovanie dýchanie sa stalo takým príjemným, ľahkým, jemným, pomalým.
When I became aware of that expectation, that made the pressure dissolve, and I could freely observe inhale and exhale, and the breath became more soft and refined, and I could comfortably stay with it.
Tento pocit mi takto skôr som ukončil meditáciu v sede, lebo to bola taká vnútorná určitá radosť, ktorú som ako keby nechcel prehnať, že chcel som ísť už do meditácie v chôdzi.
I finished the sitting meditation earlier because I had a joyful feeling and I was looking forward to go to walking meditation.
Takže to bol včerajší večer a ešte by som chcel povedať, čo sa odialo dneska ráno pri meditácii v sede. Dneska nebudem hovoriť o meditácii v chôdzi.
So that was yesterday's evening experiences and then I would like to report nebudeš hovoriť o meditácii v sede teraz, iba v chôdzi, hej?
Teraz v sede, ale dneska ráno. Hej? Mm-hmm.
Only nebudem už hovoriť o chôdzi, aby som... In the morning, but not today's walking meditation.
Takže dneska ráno, tým, že som, keď som sa osprchoval, stalo mi voda v bubienku, asi kvapka vody v bubienku, ktorá vlastne zvýrazňovala počuteľnosť a taký hluk spôsobovala pri meditácii v sede, nádych a výdych, čo ma vlastne celý čas akoby vyrušovalo a ako nedokázal som sa odpútať úplne od toho, od pozorovania nádychu a výdychu na brúšku. Akoby tá myseľ skákala. Hej, z toho hluku, ktorý som vnímal v uchu.
So I took shower in the morning and there was a little drop left over from the water that stayed in my ear. And that caused me a little oversensitivity in my ear and I could hear sounds more kind of sharply or then while doing sitting meditation, I could not really focus on my breath, on rising and falling. And my mind tend to shift between staying with the breath and going to the disturbance in my ear.
No a na záver ešte k tomu chcem povedať, že taktiež ma vyrušovalo dneska ráno k myšlienky ako formulovať toto, čo chcem povedať. To je taký častý môj problém, že ako formulovať to, čo, keď chcem vyjadriť svoje pocity a myšlienky. A už dopredu chcem poďakovať Bantemu za odpoveď a ja prejdem potom do vedľajšej miestnosti, ktoré sa vzdialím, nebudem ma vidieť.
Mm-hmm. Also I would like to say thank you very much in advance for your answer, and I will now leave and I will go to the other room to listen to your answer. And also I would like to say that today in the morning I was disturbed by my attempt to formulate my experience, my feelings and thoughts, and that kind of perhaps insecurity of how shall I formulate it made me also a little uncomfortable. So thank you very much for your answer in advance.
So that feeling, that kind of irritation towards the interviews is natural, especially a few languages, so much of miles of difference, different cultures, that is natural. So only there's no other way. We have to do trial and error method. A few days' time, it will be easier, no problem. And he mentioned about in walking and sitting, some distractions in the sitting, there may be some thinking, and in the breathing, in the toward the latter part, the disturbance in the ear, the some water gone inside and distraction. So whenever such a distraction happen, and how often can you bring the attention to the primary object? That is what we call resilience. And once it is taken to the primary object, how do you know you are not in the distraction, but in the primary object? So you have to see how do you verify it. So this is the way you can make more chances to be with the primary object rather than the wandering mind. And learn the art of expression, learn the art of writing a report. Day by day you will understand this is nothing special. It's not, that is normal for yogis, happening good days and the bad days. But whenever time permits, try to understand the primary object as well as see what is your distraction discreetly, sharply. Then I hope your early mistakes will lead to a better future, smooth trip in time to come. We are moving to the next.
Hi Bante, this is Zoltan. I would like to report on sitting meditation. As I reported last time, I am now naturally falling into the mindfulness of the breathing. And during the beginnings of the sitting meditation, it's actually very boring because very occasionally some pain appears in the body and I just observe that particular pain and it disappears again. There are various different pains in the body, one under the arm, which is like coming back with each in-breath and out-breath for a while. So I just observe it, and it's very annoying because if I put the mindfulness on the pain, it disappears. As soon as I return to the primary objective, it appears again. And then there are some continual pains, some smaller pains in the back, which I can actually ignore. I just know they are there. And after some time, after 40 minutes, the pain starts to grow in the leg and the bottom of the sitting posture. They are gradually increasing, And I'm already familiar with this pain, so I'm just observing it. But the interesting thing which I started to observe is now this usual behavior of the pain in the legs, that first time they start to appear like the whole leg is, or the whole sitting posture is in a pain. And then it's gradually increasing, and it seems that it's a single pointed in the whole posture, but I'm keeping just checking the pain and going back to the primary meditation object, and they are slowly after some point they are stable, and then they are start to be splitted into particular pains. And I just realized in that case that the feeling of the pain as a global pain in the whole posture is actually composed from small little pains which are just appearing and disappearing. And if the mindfulness is not very sharp, it can think that everything is in a pain. So, and after I'm just checking these pains, I'm not really concerned about them, because I usually know that they, after some time, they increase. And when I'm able to watch them with the mindfulness, they will be actually neutral, and I can sit with the posture. The interesting thing is that after some peak of the very intensive pain, which sometimes can be also 5 or 10 minutes, I would sometimes think that it's unbearable, but I know that it's actually bearable. And after that, it starts to decrease, and I just feel not the body already, the shapes of the legs and the hands, but I just feels like small places or locations of this sensation. And sometimes I am not already aware of the legs itself, but these points in just the posture. And sometimes I'm confused in which leg the pain is actually, or in some cases it seems that the legs are grown together or melted in together. And this is the last point I reached during my sitting meditation. What I would like to ask is that this is usually gradually increasing, and then the pains start to be again splitted. And when I'm sitting in this posture longer, it starts to again increase. Increasing, it seems that the mind loses its concentration or mindfulness, and I guess there is another cycle which should be the same, that it's gradually increasing, and I should wait for the peak and stay with it and just observe the pains, and maybe it would decrease again, but the meditation hour is over at that point. So my question is, maybe I should sit longer in these cases, or?
No, when you are continue to practice, this phenomena will happen in 20 minutes time, 30 minutes time, it will advance. You will get enough time. And what happens is, first you have to keep the pain face to face. That means be friendly with the pain. And once the clear comprehension happens, that is a kind of wisdom, you can understand the beginning, the middle and the end, painful, pleasurable pain, and kind of thing. So now you are familiarizing with the pain, with the mindfulness, and in a regular practice in the residential, the things will happen very quickly, soon after you sitting. So this is not happen in an uncomfortable way. You can understand, little longer sitting also one answer. And early part of your report that different things happen, sleepiness or pain or kind of thing. So while this scenario, while this flux is happening, you must try to understand, see through them, and to understand whether I am standing, whether I am walking, whether I am sitting. So whatever the sleepiness, whatever the painful situation happen, you can detect. Occasionally you can look at your posture. And once that is achieved, you can see sitting and breathing, walking and left and the right. Likewise, you can just go into your primary object, more focused. So that is the way you can cut the trend of the pain or sleepiness or any kind of thing. We call it a seeing through, going through. So that is that capacity is there already. So you have to implement them. You have to put into practice. And then mindfulness is gaining the ground. It is learning how to ride a wave like, how to how to do tightrope walking type. A lot of balancings are there, but still you can go, you can continue. So this is one very detailed and involved kind of understanding. But early part of what I would try to explain was, these things will happen, and meanwhile you can, you may experience it early in your sitting meditation, so you can understand the wisdom part related to the pain. But anyway, it's a saying in Panditarama or Pandita Sayadaw, he says, if the pain happens in the meditation, it's a good omen. It's a good sign that mind is going to go to deep into your immaterial part of your meditation. So made up your mind and face it, will you?
Yeah. One more question I would like to ask. In my earlier practices on other retreats, earlier when I was in this state, I usually at the end of the pains, I used to have a strong pleasurable feelings like pity or something like this. But now it's not happening. Is it possible that it's not happening because earlier I realized that when pity or such pleasurable feelings happened at the end of the pain, it distracted the mindfulness completely, and it was very hard to face the upcoming period of the meditation. And I'm not looking actually for these pleasurable feelings at this point because I know that they are not very helping the meditation. Is it possible that these pleasurable feelings disappeared because of the realization that they are not skillful for the meditation?
Yeah, the pain and the pleasure of a feeling is very high at the beginning, but when you are associating it longer time, still the pain and pleasure is there, but they are not drastic. They will be more centralized. And the second part is, when you go prepared, the inflicting nature of the pain is less. And the over-enjoyable shape of the pleasurable feeling also become less. So that is what we call maturity. You have to keep on practice.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Okay.
Yes, Bhante, thank you very much. And once again to all online yogis, we really apologize. We will read the emails maybe in 2 days. Jan will come and he will read also the emails. But at the moment, we are struggling a little bit with the technical issues here. So for today, we have done it like this. So thank you for your patience, Bhante. Thank you for your very precious answers. And see you soon at the...